It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
Where at least I know I'm free. Won't forget the man who died. Happy Labor Day, Brian. Oh, wait, that's not, it's not a patriotic one. That's more working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living.
Is that your Dave Matthews impersonation? Because I feel like it's there.
It's very close. It's very close.
I know you've been working on it. I know you've been working on Dave Matthews.
Remember when 9 to 5 was an acceptable work day for employers?
Do you remember when Dabney Coleman was an acceptable male lead?
Very true. Very true. Well, regardless, welcome to episode 171 of the Ron and Brian podcast here on this Sunday night, right smack dab in the middle of Labor Day weekend. We are thankful for you all joining us this evening. Got a lot to cover today, a lot to get into. But again, our last weekly reminder that next Sunday, our show's vaccine mandate will go into effect. We have asked that you have at a bare minimum the first shot of hopefully the Moderna vaccine,
the gold standard.
We will also accept the first shot of the Pfizer vaccine,
the silver standard.
And if nothing else, the Johnson & Johnson.
Crap.
We got a lot to go over today, so let's get things rolling with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Who's? Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
Brian, talk to me, my friend. What are you drinking this week? It's a fancy looking can you got there.
That is. You're looking at HBCU Hazy IPA. Ron, coming from our good friends over at Crown and Hops Brewing Company, the HBCU IPA offers notes of citrus, guava and pineapple with low to mid hop bitterness. Mm-hmm. Now, Crown and Hops Brewing Company created this special beer.
Very hazy looking.
So hazy. It created this special beer and artwork in honor of historically black colleges and universities, hence the name HBCU. Recently, they were pleased to discover that many black craft beer business owners and connoisseurs are HBCU alumni and wanted to pay homage to them. Coming in at 7.0 ABV, a 3.99 rating on Untappd, and about to be entered into my stomach.
So take a sip. I think this is your second week in a row going with the hazy IPA. Let me know.
This is good. I'm enjoying it. I will definitely drink the second one. But just so that you're aware of my plan, I'm working through the IPAs that are in my beer fridge so I can suddenly profess my undying love and affection for lagers, pilsners, and sours.
All right. Makes sense to me.
Ron?
Yes, my friend.
What are you drinking?
This is, as we just mentioned, Labor Day weekend. It is the last official weekend of summer. Unfortunately, that means it's also the last official weekend of Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
And what does that mean, Brian? It means that fall is coming and I once again become a basic bitch with my pumpkin beers with our friends from Elysian Brewing in Seattle, Washington. This is Night Owl Pumpkin Ale. It's their original pumpkin ale. Brewed with pumpkins, roasted in raw pumpkin seeds, and spiced and conditioning with nutmeg, chive, cinnamon, ginger, and allspice. This is clocking in at a 6.7, not quite as heavy as yours, but take a look at that nice amber hue on that, very pumpkiny, if you will. And let's take a sip.
So you seem ready for fall.
I am all ready for fall now. That's been a cool weekend here in Pennsylvania, and this is good. I like this. Very smooth, not too pumpkin-y, not too heavy on the alcohol. So I am a fan. Elysian Brewing. All right. That's right.
All right.
I have a question for you. Where did we get all right from? It was definitely college.
There was one of the DJs on our radio station, and he would always seem to come in and be like, all right, that was 1,000 Young, Private Plane. All right.
Was it the old guy?
It might have been. It's my memories are hazy from those days.
What's probably funny is he was probably then what we are today.
We're calling him old, but yes, he was probably our age range.
Yeah.
All right, Brian.
And also, if I remember correctly, he never touched any of us.
No.
There was never hey, you know, you're training to be a DJ. Why don't you come into the studio while I'm on, sit on my lap, and I'll show you what I do.
Yeah, no, never happened that way. So that's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Brian, we've got to get into This Week in Racism.
This
week
in
racism.
We've got another couple of pages of racism this week, Brian, but we are going to keep it to that tight 10 minutes that you always insist on. So let's get into This Week in Racism. The FBI released its annual hate crime statistics report, which found that the number of reported hate crimes has reached the highest it's been in 12 years. More than 10,000 people reported that they were victims of hate crimes in 2020, with attacks targeting Black people rising to 2,755 from 1,930, and the number targeting Asians jumping to 274 from 161. The FBI reports that more than half of the known offenders were white. Facebook has apologized after users who watched a video posted on the site by the Daily Mail in 2020 saw automated prompts asking if they wanted to, quote, keep seeing videos about primates. However, the video in question was not about primates. It was a clip of a Black man interacting with officers after a white man called the police on him at a marina. A product manager for Facebook Watch called it unacceptable and said the company was looking into the root cause. On Friday, Wade Oscar Twinner and his son, Lane Irvine Twinner, were sentenced to 4 years in prison after being convicted in a hate crime case in which the pair chased and shot at two Black teenagers riding all-terrain vehicles last September. The Twinners allegedly hit one of the teens' ATVs with their pickup truck while shooting at the teens from both the driver's side and the roof of their four-wheeler, resulting in both being convicted of 2 counts of simple assault and 1 count of malicious mischief each. A former Georgia sheriff has resigned from his high-level state position after photos of him in Ku Klux Klan robes surfaced for the second time. Roger Wilson, who was appointed to Georgia's Judicial Qualifications Commission watchdog organization just over 10 days ago, resigned last week amid the ensuing controversy. When the photo was first uncovered in 2012 during Garrison's reelection campaign, he claimed that the KKK outfit was meant to be a reference to a scene in the 1974 Mel Brooks satirical film Blazing Saddles, and that he has no affiliation to the Ku Klux Klan. According to Block Club Chicago, which looked at data from the Illinois Traffic and Pedestrian Stop Study, Chicago police stopped more than 204,000 Black drivers in 2020 compared to just over 35,000 white drivers. Every year since the study began, around 7 times more Black Chicagoans are stopped by the police than white Chicagoans, while Latino drivers were stopped at 3 times the rate of white drivers. To look at it in relation to the population, 62% of the drivers stopped were Black, with Black people making up about 30% of Chicago's population, while whites, who make up about half the city's population, were stopped about 10% of the time. We're going to stick in Chicago for this next story. The Citizens Office of Police Accountability has opened an investigation as a Black woman walking her dog along the lakefront in the Lincoln Park neighborhood of Chicago got into an altercation with a police officer at North Avenue Beach that was captured on cell phone video. Nikita Brown was directed by the officer to leave the park. She began to leave the park, but took out her cell phone to record the encounter, which resulted in the officer attacking her and knocking the phone out of her hands. The unnamed officer has been placed on administrative leave while the investigation is going on. And a class action lawsuit against the city of Beverly Hills is accusing the city's police department of racial profiling. The lawsuit says the department's Operation Safe Street and Rodeo Drive Task Force has arrested 106 people, with 105 of those being African-American and one Latino, according to recent department statistics. Most of the stops have been for roller skating, riding scooters, or jaywalking, and many resulted in no charges being made because there was a lack of cause or evidence. And then we're taking it back. It's Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
And we've got four stories this week in Racism Rewind. First, Kim Porter, the former Minnesota police officer who is facing second-degree manslaughter charges in the shooting death of Dante Wright during a traffic stop in April, just had additional charges brought against her. After a review by Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison's office, Porter is also being charged with first-degree manslaughter, a more serious charge that carries a maximum sentence of 15 years, with a second-degree manslaughter charge carrying a maximum sentence of 10 years. A couple weeks back, we covered the story of James Whitfield, the Black principal of Colleyville Heritage High School, who said he had been told by school administrators to take down photos on Facebook of him and his white wife. He has now been placed on paid administrative leave after a man accused him of promoting, quote, the conspiracy theory of systemic racism at a heated Texas school board meeting in July. A former Georgia prosecutor was indicted Thursday on misconduct charges, alleging she used her position to shield the men who chased and killed Ahmaud Arbery from being charged with crimes immediately after the shootings. A grand jury in coastal Glynn County indicted former Brunswick Judicial Circuit District Attorney Jackie Johnson on a felony count of violating her oath of office and hindering a law enforcement officer, which is a misdemeanor. And finally, three Aurora, Colorado police officers and two paramedics will face criminal charges, including manslaughter, in connection with Elijah McClain's death in August of 2019. A state grand jury indicted Aurora police officers Nathan Woodyard and Randy Rodema, former officer Jason Rosenblatt, and paramedics Jeremy Cooper and Lieutenant Peter Chichuniak on 32 counts. All five were charged with manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. Rodema and Rosenblatt also each face a charge of second-degree assault with intent to cause bodily injury and one count of a crime of violence related to the assault charge. Cooper and Chichuniak also face three counts of second-degree assault. So 2 years a little bit late, but finally seeing charges in that case. And Brian, that is this week in races.
A short Ron, I'm going to tell you something.
Yes.
The efforts you go to uncover the ugly behavior that still takes place in this country to this day, you are commended. You're like one of those volunteers at Facebook who go through pictures that have been flagged and seeing some of the worst things of humanity, but you're exposing your own innocent soul to it for the betterment of the world. You are that person when it comes to racism.
I wish I could say it was a difficult job, but unfortunately there's so much out there. It really just puts itself together.
Hashtag America.
All right. Let's air out our beefs this week.
Brian's beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Barstool Sports personality Kevin Clancy.
And why is that? I'm not too familiar with that personality, but educate me.
He is he's one of Barstool Sports' main personalities. Goes by the initials of KFC. He is charging $38 last week for a cameo. I believe he was one of the announcers that was involved in the Rough and Rowdy 15 that took place last weekend. So somebody, myself that is, signed up on Cameo paid $38 so that he could leave a so he could make a video message to a dear friend of mine who I had made plans with and backed out at the last second because they decided that there was something better to do. A friend group that apparently meant more to them than keeping tradition with me. So I signed up for this cameo in the hopes that I would be able, it would be delivered in time for something. According to Cameo, Kevin Clancy turns around his stuff in 48 hours. Nice. However, 6 days went by and I had not received that video. So I had to cancel it. While I was promised my money back, it's not about the money. It's the fact that promises were made, expectations were set, and under-delivered, hearts were crushed, dreams spoiled, and the guilty were able to walk away scot-free in America.
Wow. Well, that is I'm very disappointed to hear that for you, my friend. Very disappointed.
So disappointed. Ron?
Yes.
What's getting in your noggin and bothering you this week?
So my beef this week is with Apple Card, which we have bragged in the past. You know, we have our titanium cards, we have our high spending limits and whatnot. So I had an issue with what turned out to be a fraudulent charge. We had purchased something off of a website, and it turned out to be a scam website. And I have had to dispute charges with. Yes, you're calling time out for a moment.
What, you can't just say that you ordered something. You like, because when you say you ordered something and don't describe what it is, I immediately think it's a sex toy.
Now we attempted to order an above ground pool.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is going back a while. This is going back to like late June. Got a shipping notification, then got a notification that it had been delivered, and it clearly had not been. So, you know, disputed the charge with Apple Card. Also reached out to the post office to say, why is this saying it was delivered? So come to find out it was delivered. It was whatever it was just something small. It was like something 3 pounds that was delivered to another address in Elkins Park. So it was one of those scams where, you know, they just order something off of Amazon just to get a tracking number and then hope that they can, you know, keep the credit card money. So I disputed this a while back. So again, July, early July. So
sure.
This past week, I'm traveling. I'm down in Atlanta again for work, and I get an email from Apple Card, and they're like, oh, we need some additional information. 2 months after.
Sure.
But okay, whatever. And so they say, but you have until September 8th to get us that information. So I'm like, okay. Great. I'm in, you know, this is September 1st. I'm in Atlanta. I'll take care of it when I get home. So fly home on the 2nd and checking my email as I'm driving home. I have an email from Apple Card saying, oh, well, we got information from the merchant that the order was delivered, so we're putting the charge back on your card. So I'm like, well, what happened to September 8th, one and two?
Right.
I'm not paying that money. So I had to like get on the phone, and they're like, oh, it wasn't our department that sent that email, so we'll have to send you to another department. It was just a whole rigmarole. And then they opened the case back up, but it's like, why would you tell me I have till the 8th and then close it? And they're like, well, I don't know why we did that. We shouldn't have done that. Well, right.
The left hand not talking to the right.
Bush League. Citibank, Chase, I have no issues like that. No issues.
How many times a month are you calling your credit card companies to...
I'm just saying over the years. I'm just saying, you know, when I've had to rarely, you know, dispute charges, Citibank, Chase, they take care of it. I don't hear about it again. Apple, they're dropping the ball. Goldman Sachs, I guess you can say, is dropping the ball.
Okay.
If I can also say I have a second beef of the week, Brian, is I'm very upset that it's the end of Hot Podcaster Summer.
Hot Podcaster Summer.
It went too quickly. And we've got to wait, what, it's another 8 months till we roll back into Hot Podcaster Summer again. But we will hold on to this. And we will utilize that throughout the year.
Can I just ask you what's wrong with doing Hot Podcaster Fall with like an autumn tree like leaf changing colors kind of.
I feel it cheapens Hot Podcaster Summer. That's just me personally. You could have a code.
I'm not Podcaster Fall.
That would make.
I think you're right. I think it does cheapen it, but I'm okay with that.
But maybe Cozy Podcaster Fall needs to become a thing. We'll figure it out. And also, those of you who listen to our Patreon know this already. But for those, we had played a sample of the new Eric Clapton anti-mask, anti-vaxxer song last week. And we will now, when Brian goes on one of his rants, we have a clip that will just...
But this time's gotta stop.
So whenever he's running too long now, it seemed to be very popular with the Patreon listeners that when you tend to... what's the word? Pontificate a bit at times. So I feel now we have something in our repertoire to kind of rein that in a little bit.
Also, I mean, if you mentioned last week, we had a great After Dark with it was our August pajama party, the last Thursday of every month. We invite our Patreons to come on the show with us. We usually do an extra hour. We try to play some games. Last month was a lot of fun. We did a Can You Beat Ron, which I think may become a recurring theme. The game was to guess the crime. We put up a list of 15 crimes that people were charged with, and we put 15 mugshots up one at a time. Everybody had to guess what that person had been arrested for. Ron embarrassed the competition.
I mean, it wasn't, I mean, I don't often brag. I don't often toot my own horn, but yeah, it was, I wouldn't say it was close.
We will have another game next year, not next month. And the thing for people to remember is that if you can beat Ron, $25 will be donated to your favorite charity. So definitely check out our After Dark.
All right. And as we mentioned, it is the end of summer, but there summer went out with a roar this past week. We're going to take a quick trip down to the Doppler 6900 Weather Center.
Live from the Doppler 6900 Weather Center on the Ron and Brian podcast.
So last week, we talked about Hurricane Ida, how it was hitting Louisiana, how millions had already lost power. Hurricane Ida continued up through the country and really took a toll and hit Philadelphia, hit New York City. Again, I hesitate calling it a 500-year storm or a once-in-a-lifetime storm because we seem to have those on a fairly regular basis. But a lot of damage taking place. I mean, we've got some video here. This is in Philadelphia. You can see that middle area where there's a bunch of brown water. That's actually the Vine Street Expressway. That's how you cut across from I-95 to I-76 here in Philadelphia. Completely underwater, water almost coming up to the city streets there. And then we also have some video here of this is New York City with just water pouring into the New York subway systems, people having to be pulled out of the water there, people being rescued. I think the death toll from Ida across the country is upwards of 80 people now. Brian, you survived, thank God. How was your time during the great New York City flood of 2021?
You know, I think so many people, especially here in Queens, faced damages. There was water flooding. People lost lives. People in basement apartments in New York City, where we were getting at one point about 3 to 4 inches of rain in an hour. It was terrifying. The amount of water, the amount of flooding in the streets was, you know, the torrent of H2O. And I don't mean hydrogen water, next level. I mean, literally rainwater. It was the first time I actually have ever had to put towels next to windows, as it was actually water. It was coming in so strong that it was finding gaps in the windows to come through. and I had it relatively easy. The subway system was shut down on Thursday, but they had it up and running by Friday morning. You know, say what you want to say about the MTA, but, you know, there were feet of standing water in these stations Thursday morning. By Friday, everything was up and running. So thank you to the MTA.
And tornado is touching down around here in Mullica Hill, New Jersey, and also in parts of Montgomery County. Again, you know, it's amazing. We hadn't had tornadoes in this area in 50 years, and now that's twice in the last month that we have had tornadoes coming through. 8 total tornadoes hitting the Northeast.
Now, do you think that Bill Cosby being released out of Elkins Park, you think that that had something to do with the tornadoes?
It doesn't help, Brian. I got to say, it doesn't help. So,
why do, like, question for you is, and I know you're well versed in meteorology. I know you are a weather fanatic. How is it you think that a hurricane that made land in Louisiana was able to create such havoc in the Northeast?
I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say climate change, Brian, is the warmer temperatures, the warmer waters, you know, they feed a hurricane like oxygen feeds a fire. And so that will just tell you how strong this storm was, where it literally went across land from Louisiana to New York and still had the amount of power in it to do the damage that it did. I mean, the Schuylkill River here in Philadelphia, you know, crested.
Whoa. You call it Schuylkill?
Schuylkill. It's called the Schuylkill, Brian. But
I had no idea that that's the way it was pronounced. I thought it was like school, like something like that. Awesome. Okay, keep going.
It's got a lot of water, the Schuylkill. But it crested at its highest point since 1869. A photo that really kind of captured it for some of us here. This top photo is the back deck of Manayunk Brewery, which backs up to the Schuylkill River. The top picture is how it normally appears, and then the bottom picture is how it appeared when the Schuylkill crested, completely flooding the brewery, destroying the brewery again. You know, I don't know if they will be able to. This is, I think, the third time that they've flooded out there, but this is most definitely the worst. So we will see if they will be able to reopen or not. But just, you know, as far as people that live on Main Street, Manayunk, you know, the homes flooded, businesses flooded, just terrible. And, you know, I can't help but think, we spent, hundreds of billions of dollars in Afghanistan over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. If we were able to take some of that and work on infrastructure, work on climate change, you know, how much better off could we potentially be right now, Brian? I'm just throwing that out there. Just, you know, just spitballing some ideas here.
Nah, you're right. You're right. It's just sad. It is sad. I don't want this to be confused with a commentary on the Biden administration's desire to pass $3.5 trillion in infrastructure spending. But infrastructure is one thing in this country that has been so woefully underfunded, underprioritized, underreviewed, undervalued.
But this time's gotta stop.
We get it.
That these types of things are going to happen. We have the same infrastructure that we had in the 1960s when it was a very different world.
Yeah. And, you know, again, we if we had a way to divert some of this water, if we had worked on some of the structures, bridges, what have you, just very sad to see. We had an employee of my company who is also a volunteer, a fireman who also almost died that night. He was out doing a water rescue and his rope broke and he got swept away and got banged up a bit. But thankfully, was able to be pulled out of the water.
Good. Yeah, that's some scary stuff.
You want to talk about beef? People that are stupid and try and get through these flooded areas either by foot or by car. You know, regardless of how much the local government says, you know, don't do that. You know, like when they say it in our township, they say, you know, turn around, don't drown. And then you always see some yokel out there that tried to drive their car through 5 feet of water, and now you've got first responders out there risking their lives because mm-hmm. they've got to rescue this person.
Yeah, it's scary. It's very scary. It's scary how, you know, the extremes in terms of what the weather actually is so strong that you had people who were going about their commute home on Wednesday and suddenly found themselves in just pouring rain, not even realizing that, you know, what danger lay ahead for them.
Now, you know, Hurricane Ida was important because it actually pushed our continuing COVID coverage to second in the podcast. But a ton of COVID stories again this week. Brian, I know this one hit home for you, where Gene Simmons tested positive for COVID-19, resulting in a postponement of the ongoing KISS tour. The same day that we found out that apparently Paul Stanley had also tested positive for the virus.
Clearly, COVID was able to break through to the KISS tour. It is possible I am never going to go see them. I was supposed to see them, a week and a half ago, that fell through. I think, you know, it is raising a certain level of awareness as to safety protocols for a touring musical act right now. You are traveling from town to town. You're interacting with a lot of people in terms of production crew and whatnot. There are some musical acts that are doing meet and greets with the general public. And this is not the first tour that has been affected by COVID.
Do you think Gene Simmons will find a way to monetize the KISS variant of COVID-19?
I believe I saw something where he said that after having tested positive for COVID, he is now a firm believer in the use of masks. Ooh. So he will be putting up KISS Army face masks. Okay. But we know that they're not going to be as good as the Ron and Brian face masks.
Oh, you look so stylish when you put that mask on. It's snug. It feels like it's keeping the disease inside your body, not spreading among.
And not only that, but right now I'm protected. Right. I feel safer in my own home wearing this mask because, So I think Gene Simmons will absolutely figure a way to monetize it.
All right. And also podcast host Joe Rogan, who had openly criticized the need for COVID-19 vaccines, also diagnosed with the coronavirus, apparently treating himself with some horse paste and monoclonal antibodies.
He used my convalescent plasma?
Apparently, he said the medicine he took was monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, a Z-Bac, prednisone, and he also got an NAD drip and a vitamin drip. And I just felt great afterwards.
Well, it sounds like he has a lot of resources that the average person does not.
And again, I think this is our weekly reminder to not ingest horse paste. Yes, obviously, ivermectin in some forms has been prescribed to people for malaria and parasitic diseases, but you should not be taking the same concentration as a 1,500-pound horse. We are seeing ICU units filling up across the South with people that are overdosing on horse paste. So please stop taking the horse paste. Just stop taking prescription medicines that your doctor just doesn't prescribe to you.
This shit's gonna stop. Oh, yeah.
We've got Florida school districts updating their mask policy after courts determined that Governor DeSantis's executive order banning mask policy was unconstitutional and not enforceable. So a school district in Sarasota County overhauled its mask exemption policy. But now apparently there is a chiropractor, Twin Palms Chiropractic in Venice, that decided to just hand out mask exemptions willy-nilly. No one, to quote from someone that went there, no one asked to see our children. The forms were pre-signed. There was a stack behind the claims they're seeing online. So I don't know why people are so god-awful horrible that they don't want to protect their children or other people's children. But Florida continues to be an absolute shit show.
Brian, and it seems to be getting worse.
Help me understand. Well,
I believe that Florida has challenged Texas as the fuck you, try me state in this union, where it used to be Texas was like, don't mess with Texas. Now Florida seems to be, don't mess with us. We literally will do whatever we want.
And a Texas school district closed for an entire week after two teachers passed away due to COVID-19. David Andy McCormick passed away at the age of 59, and Natalia Chancellor, a 41-year-old social studies teacher, both passing away from the virus.
So sad.
And you think, can I top that for you? Because we're shitting on Texas right now.
Sure.
A group of teachers at an entire kindergarten staff at a North San Antonio elementary school have tested positive for COVID-19. But the school staff did not alert the parents that this was going on.
That's wild.
So all kindergarten teachers at Kinder Ranch Elementary tested positive. The only way parents found out about it was parent found out about it and posted it on a Facebook page dedicated to updates on the school district.
So sad. So sad. Just dangerous.
Yeah. Again, I Texas, and we'll get to the Texas abortion law shortly. But this is a state that supposedly cares about the unborn, cares about the kids, and they are literally putting their children in harm's way in these schools.
Scary shit. I mean, it's just very scary times. But the number of people that are completely behind these steps, the people who feel that there is something absolutely criminal about asking children to wear masks or asking teachers to wear masks. And then it becomes this one-upsmanship where you have school districts where they're insisting the teachers not get vaccinated, that if the teacher does get vaccinated, they will not be able to teach in a classroom. I mean, it literally is nuts.
Yeah, and we see it in sports too, where Washington Nationals Vice President Bob Boone, father of Yankees manager Aaron Boone, resigned rather than comply with the organization's COVID-19 vaccine mandate.
Wild. That is just absolutely wild to me.
That is wild, wacky stuff right there.
That's wacky stuff.
A guy who is 73 years old. So a guy who, is in that danger range of dying if they get COVID.
Sure.
But just says, you know what? No, I'm not. I'm going to quit my job rather than get the vaccine.
At the end of the day, he has every right to do it. I also have every right to judge him for that.
Exactly. Which we are doing.
Sure. Yeah, why not?
I think, is that all of our COVID stories this week? Oh, no, this was a good one, too. New Jersey stripper was exposed as the alleged mastermind of a scheme to sell phony vaccination cards through social media. Jasmine Clifford of Lyndhurst, New Jersey, sold fake CDC and prevention vaccine cards for $200 a piece and entry into the legitimate New York database for another $250.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wild. Absolutely crazy. And the fact that she had an employee in her ring who's actually going to be entering the people's names for an additional cost into the actual New York State vaccination database.
That's just insane. It'd be a lot.
Strippers, man. Strippers will always figure out a way to take your money.
I mean, you would think they would have charged $900. For the vaccine card.
Wouldn't be surprised if they did.
You would think so. All right. I think that's enough. Oh, wait. We almost forgot our new hot segment regarding COVID.
People loved this bit. They said, please do it again. We want it more.
We mentioned last week, highlighted in People Magazine. This week, we had a segment on it in Inside Edition. That's right. It is Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
Brian, who is your choice this week for Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week?
This story just kind of broke my heart. Brianna Gray, who was set to start this year as a freshman in Navarro College, which I believe is North Dakota. I could be wrong. Passing away this past week at the age of 19. 2 weeks ago, she was a seemingly healthy young woman ready to start her life. Today, she lays in a morgue, having passed away after contracting COVID-19 and becoming ill, requiring to be hospitalized on a supplemental oxygen. Her and her family had all not been vaccinated. They had been pressured by family, friends, and people in their social networks not to become vaccinated. Unfortunately, Brianna Gray had to pay the ultimate price, passing away. I am happy to report that now her mother, Tabitha Gray, and other family members not only have gotten their first dosage, but they are have already made appointments for their second dose. So, right. Brianna Gray, we are terribly sorry on your passing, but you are my nomination for Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week.
And Brian, you know, we don't look at this as a contest, but I feel my Dead Anti-Vaxxer of the Week may trump yours. We shall see here. This gentleman is Robert David Steele, a former CIA officer turned conspiracy theorist who claimed, he made the claims that he was the very first person to call COVID-19 a hoax. Well, he has now died of COVID-19. He was among the earliest QAnon promoters and continued to spread anti-vaccine and COVID denial conspiracy theories up until the end, even after being hospitalized with symptoms of COVID-19 earlier in August. He said, I will not take the vaccination, though I did test positive for whatever they're calling COVID today. But the bottom line is that my lungs are not functioning. He wrote that in his final blog post, accompanied by this picture of him hooked up to what appears to be a ventilator. His death was confirmed by friend and fellow conspiracy theorist Mark Tassi. So now, of course, this is now spiraling and saying, you know, the hospital prevented him from taking that hydroxychloroquine tablet and saying that, you know, he was actually killed rather than him dying of COVID-19. So with all the crazy surrounding him, that's my vote for anti-vaxxer death of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
And listen, again, we take no pleasure in this. Brian, I think you and I would agree we would love to retire this bit as soon as we have rolled.
Yeah.
But
yeah, these are two people that shouldn't be dead. These are two people that should not be dead right now. And the shame is that they are.
The sad fact is, each week we see more of these stories, and we actually have to narrow it down and decide who we are going to who we're going to highlight.
I think you got me again this week, Ron.
I mean, it's not a contest. It's not a contest. Speaking of not a contest, a recent high school football game that was on ESPN the other week. Featuring a really horrible high school football team, which may actually not even be a high school. This is Bishop Sycamore. They lost, what, 58-0?
It was 62-0.
62-0 in a nationally aired ESPN game. Coming to find out that Bishop Sycamore kind of scammed ESPN to get on this nationally televised game. And now we are seen a ton of crazy stories surrounding this school, such as their head coach now apparently being sought after for fraud charges. We're seeing, you know, he had the team players like beat up homeless people, rob people. And also some of these kids are older than high school kids. They're in their late teens, early 20s. And they still got their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
By high school kids. That for Sad. Me, I'd be more embarrassed about that. Like I am a, you know, one person on the team was 24 years old and you're getting your ass beat by a 16-year-old.
Not good.
Yeah. So the head coach, Roy Johnson, he's got an active warrant out for his arrest for a domestic violence incident. He's got multiple civil lawsuits coming out against him. Yeah, it's a crazy story. One, unfortunately, that we will probably never see on 30 for 30 on ESPN because they got duped for whatever reason.
Right. Maybe Netflix will do a story on it.
Ooh, that would be good. Netflix does do some good documentaries.
Speaking of Netflix, Ron.
Yes.
What are you watching?
What are we watching? I watched, what did I watch? Well, the new season of American Horror Story, Double Feature.
Okay.
I started watching Clickbait on Netflix.
Is that with Adrian Grenier?
It is. Yes, it actually is. And what else did I watch?
How was that?
Not bad. We're about five episodes in. Not too bad. American Horror Story. Not too bad. And also started watching Reservation Dogs on Hulu, which that I would recommend.
I've seen ads for it. What is the plot there?
So the plot is, you know, it is four kids growing up on a Indian reservation. I want to say in Oklahoma, and okay. they're all like, you know, trying to raise money by stealing from people in the community to try and move out to California. So it's a comedy, kind of a dark comedy, but I enjoyed it. I would recommend that.
Well, I watched the new Netflix Untold. It was called Crimes and Penalties on Danbury Thrashers, a minor league hockey team that was bought by alleged mobster Jimmy Galante and handed over to his 17-year-old son AJ to run. And it became a rules were broken, let's put it that way.
Is that what you're saying?
But a fascinating hour and 20 minutes or hour and 30 minutes. It's on this hockey team that mob influence started to touch it, the effects that it had on the town, positive as well as negative. The people that were involved, they interviewed players, fans, it was really quite interesting. I also finished season two of Dave.
And how, so
I'm now all caught off there.
You were kind of iffy about the second season. What's your final?
It does finish with his career at an apex, which is what I was afraid of, but they still were able to maintain a lot of what I liked in season one. I would recommend it to people.
All right. Fantastic. Speaking of sports, as we just were, the NFL season opens this Thursday night. So that can mean only one thing. It is time for us to bring back our ever popular NFL Locks of the Week for you new listeners. Brian and I are currently on a 3-year perfect streak. We each pick two games. So that gives you four games to parlay, yes, if you will, on your DraftKings, your MGM Grand, your Barstool Sports, what else is out there, Brian, as far as betting apps?
Oh, I'm not stopping you. I was just going to let you keep naming them. It's fun to do. I saw the little glint in your eye as you realized that you were in it.
It's addictive. I might have to play the clip on myself. Brian, who, yes, are your locks of the week for this opening football weekend?
Ron, the NFL is back. Hot podcaster summer is over. That can only mean one thing, that the New Jersey Giants will disappoint. Denver Broncos minus 2.5 this next week, a week from today when they go up against the New York Giants as well. I'm throwing down money. Well, not literally money. On the Los Angeles Chargers laying only 1.5 at Washington, still without a nickname. The team is in turmoil. The rivers have crescendoed.
Is that it? All right. Yeah. So those are your two picks for the week. I am going with a couple of big lines to start off this season.
You're taking the Lions? Yeah. There's no Lions, nobody's going with
big
Detroit.
Big lines. So Thursday night, the NFL season opens up in Dallas, in Texas Stadium, with the defending Super Bowl champions coming to town. Tampa Bay favored by 7.5. Against the Cowboys, who have already had, I think, one player pulled due to COVID protocol. I think this could end up being a very ugly first game for the Cowboys. So, yes, I am all in on Tom Brady and Tampa Bay minus 7.5. And then the Super Bowl runner-ups, the Kansas City Chiefs, have the Cleveland Browns coming to town. Kansas City favored by 6. I'm taking KC minus the points. Put your money down. Bet with your head, not over it. But we feel, as always, very confident about our NFL locks of the week. It's kind of good.
It's kind of good
that we're now doing the show on a Sunday night because we can really look into the future. Whereas we were doing this like on a Thursday, and I think people were not having enough time to maybe bet on Thursday games or Saturday games. This gives you really a whole week to really decide how much money you're comfortable putting down. If you want to mortgage the house, if you want to, you know, sell some of your plasma, because people make money on the NFL locks of the week every single year. And we encourage you to attempt to do so, but we take no responsibility for any losses you may incur.
I'm not sure, plus or minus a couple dollars, but our listeners last year reported making over $12.8 billion betting our locks of the week in Vegas. Clearly, past results are not any type of guarantee on future events. Well, that's our you know, the disclaimers our lawyers said we have to say. But, I mean, we don't call it the locks of the week for nothing. Ron and I are very intelligent sports fanatics. If there is anything that Ron knows more than a pro forma, it is to sit there and study the lines, look at the weather. When is sunset? When is sunrise? What time is high tide? What is the type of material that the time's gotta stop.
Sorry, I had to cut you off a little bit there.
You know what I like? It's like the Gong Show.
Next up, Texas, continuing to work to be the worst state in the union, passing a law banning most abortions after about 6 years of pregnancy going into effect. The Supreme Court voting 5-4, refusing to block the law. Because of the way the law was written, it may be difficult to challenge in court. And as such, a number of states are rushing to enact similar laws. Mm-hmm. Not good. Also, incenting people to turn in their neighbors if they feel that they are getting an abortion.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's, how is that even legal?
You would think it's not, but it's horrible. You know, basically the law bars abortions once cardiac activity can be detected in the embryo, which typically occurs about the 6th week of pregnancy. It does not make any exceptions for pregnancy resulting from rape or incest, or to protect the life of the mother. Someone brought up a point that, you know, if a man rapes a woman and gets her pregnant and she decides to get an abortion, he can turn her into the state of Texas and make money off of that. which I don't know. It just strikes me as ridiculously horrible.
Who's paying the $10,000, if I may ask?
I'm not sure. I mean, you can sue the person having the abortion, and that is who would pay that money. So basically, you know, if the plaintiff, you can have no connection to the patient, to the clinic, and you can sue and recover legal fees as well as $10,000.
This sounds like it's going to lead to a lot of frivolous lawsuits, like a lot of just like, it's just scary. It's
and Texas also has the highest amount of kids that have died from COVID-19 in schools since the beginning of the school year. So please do not think that this abortion law has anything to do with protecting the unborn or protecting children. It is 100% about controlling women. Period.
Period. And let's never forget, Texas is an outrage when your husband is dead. Texas is an outrage when they pick up his head. Texas is the reason that the president's dead.
All right. I will.
Not a fan of, not a Misfits fan, Ron?
Not ever since you missed an event we were supposed to go to because you went to see the Misfits at Madison Square Garden. It has been painful since that.
And I would bail on you again if the Misfits were coming to town.
But this, there are 7 million women of childbearing age in Texas, all impacted by this. You know, down point, yes.
I would like to do something to help women in Texas that are desiring abortions. Okay. Can I challenge our listeners to come up with ways that we can support in a way that will not financially bankrupt us?
We'll
you know, like, but that. Real we'll ways, like I saw
legal team to look at the law and see how
I saw that Lyft said that they were going to cover any legal expenses that any driver incurred if they were sued for helping a woman get to an abortion clinic. I'm not looking to pay for abortions per se, but I would be happy to help out any woman that is in need down there.
Well, I think, you know, donations to Planned Parenthood, donations to the ACLU, any type of organization that is looking to, you know, fight this draconian law in the courts, those are the areas.
Can we put our collective brains together and over the next 7 days put together some suggestions? Ron and I will review them and we can put suggestions as well so that a week from today, when our COVID vaccine mandate kicks in, we will be in a position to say to our fans that this is what Ron and Brian are doing to help protest this backwards bill.
All right, we will put our heads together and we will see what we can come up with.
Something's gonna stop. Oh yeah.
This was an interesting article that I read this past week. As we know, the federal unemployment benefits, the extended benefits due to COVID, expire this weekend. So I think it was, $300 a week additional. That is going away in all states. But there were a number of states, primarily red states, that had voluntarily pulled themselves out of that program. Back as early as June, I think 26 state governors opted out of these pandemic programs, saying that, you know, because there was such a labor shortage in their areas, they felt that by pulling these unemployment benefits, that it would, you know, push people back to work. It does not, you know, in a paper authored by Columbia, Harvard, UMass Amherst, and the University of Toronto, it does not appear to have had that effect. Basically, 1 in 8 people in those states went back to work, obviously leaving 7 of 8 out of work. But what it did do was it fueled a nearly $2 billion cut in household spending, probably hurting local economies in those states. So shocking that, you know, taking money away from people during a pandemic in a shitty workplace did not inspire them to go back to work, but instead just resulted in businesses in those states, you know, missing out on $2 billion in spending.
So sad. Fuck, it yeah. just, you can't do it right, you can't do it wrong, and people still suffer at the end of it.
Right, exactly. And we'll see, you know, there was a push to extend these benefits, but as of this weekend, that has not happened, so those benefits will fall off for the remaining 24 states that were still utilizing them. So we'll
that
see.
Will happen.
We will see. You know, we've got the Delta variant, we've got the Delta Plus variant, we've got the Mu variant. It's going to be a long winter, I think, but we will see.
I read that they what's also making a comeback is the Lambda, Lambda, Lambda variant.
Also as well. And don't forget the KISS variant, which is available for $250 if you use your KISS credit card. I'm assuming
after joining the KISS army,
I'm assuming there's a KISS credit card. Like, I can't imagine, you know, if there's KISS coffins, there has to be a KISS credit card. And then finally, we do have a couple of celebrity.
KISS Online has its own KISS credit card.
What did I tell you? So the Ron Bushy, drummer for Iron Butterfly, passing away last Sunday at the age of 79. Can you name another Iron Butterfly song other than Inagata Davida?
Hold on. I tried listening to the A side of that album,
right?
And it's all hippie music, and I don't mean like psych, like Inagata Davida was a it was psychedelic, like it was funky. You clearly needed to be on drugs for that. But the first the A side of that album is all like flowers and beads.
Is it? Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible.
I could not tell you another song that they do.
If you're looking for a live version of Inagata Davida and it's not 27 minutes long, don't even waste your time on it. You are looking for 27 or more minutes.
And this was sad.
Inagata Davida, baby. The sun's gonna stop.
Apparently, where the song came from was a misinterpretation of "In the Garden of Eden."
In the garden of Eden,
baby. Well, anyway, the next story is sad. I mean, all deaths are sad, but this was tragic. Former pro wrestler Daphne Unger taking her life at the age of 46. She had posted on, well, I guess not posted, she had gone on Instagram Live reading off what appeared to be a suicide note. A number of her friends tried to get help to her. Apparently, part of the issue was she had moved 4 days prior to this, so a lot of people did not have her new address. So very tragic stuff. She'd been dealing with mental illness for a long time. Some felt maybe she was dealing with CTE as well from injuries that she obtained while pro wrestling. But one of the unsung greats in women's wrestling coming up in the 90s and early part of the 2000s. I know you're not.
I saw that she was. I read earlier today that she had a gunshot wound to the chest.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, that's what the cops reported. Gunshot wound to the chest. All I'm saying is that I hope this does not interfere with my ability to go see AEW live at the U.S. Tennis Center in Arthur Ashe Stadium, Queens, New York, on September 22nd. Get your tickets. In limited quantity already.
You're also missing out tonight, Brian, on the AEW pay-per-view All Out, featuring the return of CM Punk this evening. So that's a big get for AEW.
I don't really like to do pay-per-views.
I understand Daniel Bryan may be returning tonight on AEW as well.
I might be able to justify like 10, 15 bucks.
Right.
But I can't justify the $59.99 that these things are.
Okay. So
it's just not delivering that level of entertainment to me.
Not for you. It's not the value that you would be looking for.
Correct. Now, if there was somebody that I was close to but wanted to share their login credentials with me so that I could watch the pay-per-view, and I'd be happy to take advantage of that.
All right, fair enough. I think, did we hit everything this week, Brian? I think we might.
Well, I did. We did want to talk about your colonoscopy.
We did. Oh, you know what? So, you know what? Maybe we save that for the After Dark. Maybe because of the nature of the...
It's going to get graphic, right?
It's going to get a little graphic. It may be a bit much for, you know, the kids out there that we know. Again, we're very popular with the 12-year-olds out there. You know, it's a little too much. I will say this, for those of you of age getting to be, you know, do the colonoscopy. It is not as bad as it may sound. It's a very important a test to have. A good friend of mine died of colon cancer years ago, which could have been prevented had she started to have colonoscopies at the age that they recommend. So I would highly recommend it. Not to bring the show down at the end, but get your prostate checked. Get the colon.
If there's one thing about this show that we have always stressed, regardless of what the subject matter was that the better educated you are, the better off you are. Regardless of what your views are, the better educated you are, the better you are. When it comes to your own body, I think you want to be as knowledgeable at what's going on as possible. I've got a lot of questions, Ron, about your colonoscopy. I'm going to save them all for After Dark. Now, if you are unfamiliar with what After Dark we keep referring to is, every week we do this podcast for free. It is put up online in real time. It is streamed. We are not looking to make money off of this show.
Nope.
However, we would like to get to a point where our costs are covered. And then after, you know, we reach that point, what else can we use the money for? Where can we put it towards in terms of how it's going to help society the most? After we have helped society all we can, then I think Ron and I will start looking to see if we can start taking a salary out of it. Sure, but until that day happens, we encourage, if you're watching this show live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, if you are listening to it as a podcast, not streaming it, if you're however you are hearing these words and thinking to yourself, hey, how can I help this show keep going? They are in episode 171. I want to be able to hear episode 271. The way to do that, join our Patreon. The link is there below. Go to our website, click the link on Patreon. It will take you there. There are multiple tiers, as little as $5 a month, which is incredibly little considering what you are getting. $5 a month all the way up to $150 a month with various levels that you sign up for. You become eligible for exclusive Ron and Brian merch. And then in addition to just being able to financially support the show, we also every Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time record a live streaming on YouTube for our Patreons at the $10 or more level. Full video streaming. We save stories behind the paywall that tend to be somewhat more salacious, sexy, erotic. We're talking about your colonoscopy, you know, just in line with those other three things. But it's the kind of things that, you know, we might cause people.
This time's gotta stop.
Sorry. I felt like you were getting the point across. I didn't mean to hurt you.
Go fuck yourself.
All right. Well, we do need to go get ready for the After Dark. We look forward to our Patreon subscribers joining us. Brian, anything else before we wrap up for this week?
I love you. I love everyone watching this. Love people. Don't hate. There's enough negativity in this world. Don't wrap yourself around with more. Let's all have a good week this week.
All right. So we will see our Patreon folks in a little bit. We'll see everyone else next week. Love you, my friend. And I will see you in 20 minutes on After Dark.
It's time for the...
It is not time for that. It's time for the outro. Hit the wrong button there.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.